And now, a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
Kudo ga arimasu, watakushi wa ayatsuri no yoga kirai desu. Doki ga shimasu.
Have your attention, please.
From the Hickory Smoked Heartland, double the mass and half the taste, the Skinny White Boy, Cast Pod.
Taking a quick drag of the cig, we got enough beer, cigarettes, and another cheap-ass microphone to bring you this Cast Pod. It is June 27, 2005. Hi, my name is Skinny White Boy. We've got, of course, as usual, more Pod Save Audio than you can shake a stick at. Also, a plane crash and a historical soundbite. We've got the return of the Blaine cast, and it is hot outside. So what we want to do is put on some dancing tunes because it's dancing weather. And why don't we start with a band named Taxi Doll?
SWB.
Happy tunes on your Cast Pod. That was Taxi Doll Waiting. You can go find him at taxidoll.com. And hey, I promised to return to the Blaine cast, and it's coming up. This is where the three-year-old visits my house, and this time he decided that he was going to invite the entire family. That's right. And while the guys were putting together paddle cars for a certain unnamed individual's birthday, the women were hanging out and cheering the guys on, and Blaine, the three-year-old, decided to run right over the foot with one of those pedal cars, right over the foot of his nine-month-old cousin.
So, okay, you got Bass Pro, Tracker Boats, and Team Realtree.
Goodrich. They didn't put
Sonic.
Snap-on and Oreo.
Metro Performance Parts.
This is race car.
Watch out.
True Value.
I got three race
cars.
I got Bass race car.
EA Sports. I'm glad they already put the stickers on for you.
You got Bass.
Oh, I know. No,
that
was terrible. We bought Blaine's Joy for Christmas, and it was a big truck.
And yeah, that one's got fireplaces on it, though.
Ooh, it does. And this, and it unfolded, and it became a race lathe. Do you remember this? It took us, what, 3 or 4 hours to put all those stickers on that dang thing? I told Sabrina, this is an unusual toy. You need to just put it up. It's really weird, wasn't it, honey?
What was it?
It was a truck that unfolded.
It was right over his feet, bud.
I make sure his feet aren't broken.
Are you okay?
Blaine, how many times do we tell you to watch out for it?
Granny, I didn't mean to.
Okay. And that was the Blaine cast. Poor old Blaine. I don't think he's ever going to invite that many people over again. And now, Lindsay Highlander, Summer Sweet and Safe for the Wedding Place.
You're my everything.
Like I said, summer sweet and safe for the wedding place. I can't believe I played that because normally I'm not the kind of guy that likes this kind of music. I like this song, I really do. But normally I'm not the kind of guy that likes it. And you know, throughout the entire thing, I was waiting for the and the guitar solo because I grew up in the 80s. I grew up with Cinderella, Def Leppard, you know, all the lousy bands with the big hair and the spandex. And I was waiting for that rip-roaring drum and guitar solo, and it didn't come. But anywho, uh-oh, I said anywho. 1-800-NO-MORE-ANYWHOS from Skinny White Boy. Call that number or leave me a voicemail, a voice comment at castpot@gmail.com. That's cast with a K, pot at gmail.com. Or just go to the website, skinnywhiteboy.com. And now, this time it is a dot. castpod.org. That's Skinny White Boy Cast with a K pod.org. Get the anywhos out of the show. Yeah, next time I might even make a concerted effort to leave them out, but not for now. Anywho. Yeah. Oops, sorry, Heineken Brew. Lindsay Highlander, you are my everything. And of course, right now I can't find a URL, so I'm going to have to scramble to put it in the show notes. Lovely harmonies, lovely voice. Not something I would have picked normally, but hey, you know what? I kind of enjoyed that, so who cares, right?
Welcome to the Internet Radio Experience.
That's right, welcome to the Internet Radio Experience, and oh! Do you hear them? It is not only the return of the blank gas in the show, it is the return of the hyperventilating friends. Hi guys, long time no see, how you been? But then again, just the door's over there. Thank you. Bye. No, really. Hey, one thing I want to play for you, just because I can and just because it's like brand new and there's I don't really have a spot yet for it in the cast pod, but one of the friendly guys, once again, at RadioDaddy.com made this for me, and it's pretty cool. Listen.
From the Hickory Smoked Heartland, double the mess and half the taste, the Skinny White Boy Cast Pod.
SWB.
Thank you. But now for something completely different. Well, not entirely different. It is time for the historical soundbite. 9/11. September 11th. It's another one of those dates. Everyone can tell you exactly where they were at the time the news broke of the attacks on the World Trade Center. Almost instantly, September 11th became synonymous with tragedy, so much so that here in the U.S., we don't even add the year to the date anymore, and around the globe, people are still speculating over the significance of the number sequence, 911, as we all know, America's emergency response telephone number. I remember where I was. I mean, it was nothing special. I was driving to work when the first plane crashed into the World Trade Center. I had the radio set to the local rock and roll morning show, so I was blissfully unaware of what had just happened until I reached the office and one of my coworkers pulled me into the training room where there was a television, just in time to see the second plane crash into the other tower, just in time to realize that this was not an accident. It was believed at the time that there were three targets: the Trade Center, symbolic for the heart of the U.S. economy, the Pentagon, America's most important military building, and the White House, the office of the highest political figure in the U.S., like it or not, George W. Bush. No, George W. Bush. To this day, nobody is absolutely sure if that fourth plane was really headed for the White House. Its passengers made sure that it was not going to reach its target, and it crashed off course in some field somewhere. At the time, I was working in a 45-story building. Almost instantly, speculations arose about the next attack. Looking at the significance of earlier targets, economy, military, and government, someone made the decision that the next logical crash site for our, as of yet, unknown enemy would be the country's energy supplies. Working for a large utility company, our building was evacuated within 30 minutes. Dazed and confused, I drove back through empty streets. Undoubtedly, everyone else was glued to the television screen set to CNN. I drove back to my apartment where I started making phone calls to my family overseas. Don't worry, guys. Really, I'm okay. Not very many people know that a similar tragedy, albeit much smaller in scale, occurred on July 28, 1945, when an American B-52 with three servicemen on board got lost over Manhattan in dense fog and at 9:49 a.m. crashed into the 79th floor of what was then the tallest building in the world, the Empire State Building. All aboard the B-52 Mitchell died in the crash. Nine members of the National Catholic Welfare Council, whose offices were located at the scene, got incinerated immediately in the explosion. The organization's publicist was propelled out of a window, and his remains were later discovered a floor below. One person died when the elevator she was riding suddenly plunged dozens of floors to the lobby. The 102-story Empire State Building suffered no critical damage, and the fire caused by the high-octane fuel of the bomber was extinguished within the hour. Cost of repairs to the skyscraper, $1 million. The following clip is an eyewitness report by two of the survivors of the accident.
One of the most thrilling adventures in the war happened today when an American destroyer dashed to within 25 miles of Tokyo to rescue two American clients.
Let us never negotiate out of fear, but let us never fear to negotiate.
I'll bring you further eyewitness accounts of the disaster at the Empire State Building. The interviews will be conducted by Barry Gray of Mutual Special Features Division. It's 12:25 Eastern Wartime in New York City. This morning at about 10 o'clock, an Army bomber crashed into the tallest building in the world, the Empire State Building here in New York City. Fire Chief Walsh of New York says there are already 19 known dead, and the four-alarm fire has drawn every piece of fire apparatus to the busy scene of 5th Avenue and 34th Street in the heart of Manhattan. Official police reports say the B-25 crashed and exploded into the 78th floor of the skyscraper, and hundreds of office workers were trapped a fifth of a mile above the street level. Two girls at work in the 73rd floor were Miss Edith Iverson, 857 Fairmount Avenue, St. Paul, Minnesota, and Jean Fagan of 3 East Bank Street, Chicago. They were at work in the Empire State offices of the North Central Broadcasting System. And they are now at the Mutual Newsroom microphone here in New York to tell you in their own words what happened. Now, Miss Fagan, tell us what happened when you first heard the crash.
When we first heard the crash, we sat at our desks and looked at each other. We didn't know what it was lightning because we've heard so much publicity lately on lightning striking the Empire State Building. But we opened our office door, and in the hall, it was so covered with smoke we couldn't see, and the elevator shafts were flaming with smoke.
Well, tell us, what was your reaction, Miss Iverson?
Well, I too thought it was lightning. We found the service stairs finally and began to walk down. There were only two other girls on the floor. But many people from other floors, there must have been at least 30 or 40, and they were all walking down, too.
Was there any fire on your floor besides that from the elevators? Miss Fagan?
The windows. We looked out the windows before we went out the door, and it must have been a piece of the wing of the plane because we could see it falling. In fact, it was so thick you couldn't see anything but this bright orange flame going by the windows.
I see. And how much of a flame would you say in judging it in feet? Or couldn't you judge from your position?
Oh, about five feet. It was just a wild sheet of flame. Just going by the window.
Was there any sign of panic in the building among the people you saw?
Well, not until we got to the 66th floor.
And what happened at 66?
Some of the children started to cry and whimper and said they wanted to get out of there. That's about all we found, and otherwise I think everything was very well conducted.
How about the adults? They were perfectly under control?
Very well so.
The men?
At the time, the men reacted favorably.
Very well. They took control of the situation and handled all the stenographers and office girls and so on and directed them as to what to do and where to go.
What happened when you got to 66, though, on the as far as getting out of the building? I understand the elevators were stuck.
The elevators were stuck, and they were flaming at certain points. The firemen came and started to work on the 66th or 64th floor and started pounding at the doors with axes, etc., and as much as they couldn't get them open. So finally, after much confusion, one of the gentlemen said that anybody who wanted to use the stairs was welcome to do so, and
you
naturally we took the stairs.
Did you see any injured?
No, we didn't.
You didn't. And what happened when you got to the street? What was the street scene like?
Well, it was all blocked off. The policemen were there and quietly directed us which way to go, and we got out with very little trouble. Of course, we saw the ambulances, and that panicked us all the more, but we did manage to get out and on our way.
And a lot of debris in the street, of course.
Yes, sir. Very much so.
For a good block beyond.
It is Talkies for the Web. It's a total upgrade from where we were.
As the sky turned from blue to black, we're descending on the long stair to go on the ground. Those who are coming up look like fears, gasping for oxygen. They already opened their mouth. I lay my eyes upon the golden hair of a girl below. Such a pretty sight. And in my mind I hear your voice repeat the last word, the last word you spoke to me tonight.
See you soon.
Mama Lou, Underground. I could tell you so many jokes about the name of that band, because Mama Lou is actually a play on words for a character of a Dutch children's television series about a traveling clown. I had all these jokes prepared, but you know what? They only work in Dutch, and for my international audience, I figured, nah. But I tell you what, though, that the little weird music that you heard at the very beginning of the show, right before President Bush came on, that was actually the ringtone version. You know, if you have a cell phone, you know the whole deal with ringtones, and you can download them, and that was the ringtone version of the original song to that children's television show. And I figured that is befitting to introduce the President of the United States. I'm sure I'm going to get, like, all the Republicans fall all over me right now. It's like, ah! But anywho, uh-oh. 1-800, no more anywhos from Skinny White Boy. No. Mama Lou, Underground. So, I'm going to have to spell that URL for you, just in case you couldn't figure out how to do that yourself. MAMALOO.NL. Yeah, it's a Dutch band, Mama Lou. Again, Dutch children's television series, and that's where the name came from. One of the characters out of that show, that was their tune, Underground. I had some really pleasant email conversations with them, and I can tell you this much. They are part of what would you call that? An artist network that bring out a CD every 2 months, and stand by, because in a few weeks, the Skinny White Boy Castbot is going to be on that CD. We are going to do a special episode just for that CD. And we're going to... a lot of musicians out of that... like I said, it's sort of an artist network. And all these people come together. And together they make this CD. And it's great because they call it a bootleg. Because you can actually, you know, once you get the CD, you are allowed to copy it and give it to whoever the heck you want, just to further the cause, which of course is, as podcasters call it, you know, pod save audio, spread the word. They do that on their own terms, but the Skinny White Boy Castbot is going to be part of that CD. Very exciting stuff. Like I said, I had some great email conversation. We're shooting ideas back and forth on how to do that, you know, what to put in the podcast, and which bands to feature. It's promising to be one heck of a show with some really cool tunes. Again, Mama Lou, Underground. And now, last song of the day, or maybe not, because there might be a bonus track, but you never know for sure. But anyway, last track of the day. This is Exit 8.
Baby, back when you feel a cat, everything
And that was number five of this do-it-yourself thing called podcasting. In this case, the Skinny White Boy Cast Pod. Hey, I had a great time. Heard some really great sounds, some really cool historical audio. I'm going to say goodbye, but not before I... oh, by the way, that was Exit 8 with New Day. Their URL is exit8.com. That's exit, the word 8, not the number 8. .com. And yeah, like I said, be on the lookout for the special artist network. I'm not going to tell the name of this network just yet. Be on the lookout for that podcast, that Cast Pod with me, Skinny White Boy. If you got anything at all to say, castpod@gmail.com. That's cast with a K, pod@gmail.com. Or just leave it on the website. skinnywhiteboy.castpod.org. That's skinnywhiteboy.castwithakpod.org. I have to thank a couple of people. Well, who? Oh, yeah! Mitch Mitchell from... I played his song in the previous show. He was kind enough to leave a link on his blog. So, that really great stuff. Also, and I forgot his name now, but I'll promise that I'll look it up on Radio Daddy, who actually made this particular jingle for me. Yeah, that one. Because great stuff, and all for free on RadioDaddy.com. If you're a podcaster, go check them out. I mean, cool stuff. So, yeah, I thank Mitch Mitchell. Mitch Mitchell, I thank the guys at RadioDaddy.com. Stay tuned for maybe more. So if the microphone goes silent, don't go away. There might just be a little bit more in the way of a bonus track. Why? Well, you'll figure it out. But let's just say, if you've been listening to some other shows, you know that I have a couple of CDs coming my way, and they just arrived. Too late in time to put into the show, but I might just add them to the end of this, so... Don't nobody go nowhere. Until next time, this is Skinny White Boy bidding you a farewell. Later.
From the Hickory Smoked Heartland, double the mass and half the taste, the Skinny White Boy Cast Pod.
The worst. as you seem. Oh, baby, see what I mean. Well, you might as well jump. Go ahead and jump. Man, I said jump.
Jump.
Go ahead and jump. I said jump.
Jump.
Go ahead and jump. People, I said jump.
Jump.
Go ahead and jump. Oh, jump one time. You might as well jump. Go ahead and jump. Come on and jump.
Jump.
Go ahead and jump. Man, I said jump.
Jump.
Go ahead and jump.